This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
JazzCast Pros.
Thank you for joining Igniting Hope Radio. I am Ebony White, the Community Engagement Manager here at the Buffalo Center for Health Equity, standing in for Pastor George Nicholas. As always, we love to bring to you all of the information and partnerships that are taking place and being cultivated in our very own community to address social determinants of health and really improve the quality of life for men and women, the Black and Brown women living in the east side of Buffalo. I have the esteemed privilege to have my friend, professional colleague to in this space with me on today to just really talk about some of the wonderful work that he's doing in the education space around diversity and inclusion and equity. None other than Mr. Isaiah Gary.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having this today.
I'm so glad that you're here and that we're just going to really talk about what you do, but share with our listeners one of your favorite things about Buffalo. Because this work is about what we're doing right here in Buffalo,
right,
which can be duplicated and they can use as a toolkit in other communities that look like ours.
If I'm honest, hands down, it's the food.
The food
is my favorite thing about Buffalo.
What's your favorite, if you could kind of drill it down to just one thing?
My favorite food?
Favorite food?
Chicken wings.
Chicken wings. That is a true Buffalonian right there. So, Mr. Isaiah Gary is actually the Director of Diversity,
Community and Health Equity.
And Community and Health Equity at Health Sciences Charter School, which has been a phenomenal partner to us in engaging with both the students and the families that live in our very own community. So that's a heavy lift, that job title right there. What does your day-to-day look like?
So a lot of what I do is helping students figure out what they're going to do after they graduate high school, what career track they want to go on. We do that through exposures, internships, service learning opportunities, field trips, bringing in guest speakers. Yeah, I would say that is a lot of what I do is community work and building partnerships and relationships that ultimately turn into opportunities for our students. On the health equity side, my job is to help our school become educated on the social determinants of health, and help to create a plan to advance health equity. So one of the main ways we do that is through Wellness Wednesday, which is an initiative that we started. And with Wellness Wednesday, what you see is everyone in the building, you know, students, staff, parents, and community members being educated on the social determinants of health and then health and wellness so they can make informed, healthier decisions.
So what have been some things that you all put into place for that Wellness Wednesday? So the innovation that took place and what were some of the outcomes because of those things?
Well, I have to start with saying having the Buffalo Center for Health Equity coming in and speaking with our young people and working with them, educating them about the social determinants of health. You've been a great partner and we sincerely appreciate you. I'm not just saying it because, you know, I'm on this platform today. I mean that.
Thank you.
No
doubt. We appreciate it.
So a creative example, we received a farm to school grant. And what we did was in the morning, we had smoothies ready for the students. One of our board members, Maureen, shout out Mo, if you're listening, Maureen came in and made smoothies in the morning. We would go, you know, students would get those. We would pass them out. Then throughout the day, we would have like tabling. So we would bring different organizations in to table during lunch to speak with, again, the students, staff, parents, school community about what's happening in the school and to educate them on different social determinants of health. For example, nutrition, making healthier decisions, or if the health and wellness, you know, going to your primary doctor visits, just different habits that we have, learning new habits, right? And different strategies we can use to improve our health. And then maybe in the afternoon, not maybe, but in the afternoon, having a healthy cooking class where students can learn to cook healthy meals that still taste good and then go home and share that information with their families. We've had yoga for staff, which was cool. I was the only man who participated.
It's so okay. Yeah, it's okay.
I'm challenging the rest of the men at Health Sciences to participate in yoga the next time we have it.
So who have been some of your partners that have been able to come in and the students have had the exposure to? Because you talked about creating new habits, right? So they, you know, when we look at geographically where what is around them, right? In many of our communities, them not having that option, something simple as a smoothie, right? It seems very simple, but that is something. So what on general, so if you go back to the year prior, right, just kind of looking at a data standpoint, what were many of the children coming in eating in the morning? Man.
So McDonald's is like number one, or Hot Cheetos, Arizona's, Burger King, I would say is a close second to McDonald's, but usually McDonald's or something from the corner store.
Right. Or not eating at all.
Right.
Right. Or not eating at all. So was the initiative of the smoothies, did it like kind of help with children arriving to school earlier? Was it a good opportunity for them to socialize more and really have that conversation about what they were, you know, this new concept, whether it was blueberries, whether you're putting peanut butter, whether you're putting oats in there, did that like garner a lot of conversation out of them?
Definitely. I would say it definitely did. And it created a space to have conversations about trying new things.
Okay.
Definitely all the things you mentioned. We noticed some students, their attendance did improve because they look forward to those smoothies. We had conversations around, you know, making healthier choices, but definitely just exposing them to new things and new fruits, mango, kiwi. I mean, you would be surprised that some of our students just haven't tried certain fruits, and through the smoothie program, they were exposed to those.
So that came out of the farm to table. So Health Science Charter School actually has a beautiful garden back there.
Yes.
Tell us about that. Okay. Now, when I went to school, there was no garden. Mm-hmm. Was there a garden near your school?
No.
No garden.
No garden.
No garden. No garden.
So shout out to Home Beneath Our Feet, Dwight Lowe, who is the garden expert, I'm going to just say in New York, you know, and beyond. That's my man. I love Dwight. But Dwight came and actually set up our garden in the back. It helped us get it going and maintain it. He also came into our health disparities class and spoke to our students about nutrition. So, yeah, our garden is phenomenal. Collard greens, green tomatoes, well, tomatoes in general, peppers, onions. So we're already having conversations about having a soul food dinner. I don't know how this is going to go over, but my plan is to have some fried green tomatoes, some collard greens. It's not the healthiest, though. But
it's how you do it, though.
Right.
But, you know, we can find you the appropriate partners, the dietitians, we, you know, the nutritionists, and we can walk through it to say, instead of that oil, use olive oil, or using a different oil instead of battering it with cornmeal. We can work through all of those things. So, and that's the thing. So part of the issue is it's not villainizing how we eat, right, culturally, but it's some tweaks that we have to do with how we eat. You don't throw the whole collard green out.
Right.
You kind of throw out all of the salt that you add to the collard greens and take a look at some different herbs and spices. So that's awesome about the garden and the smoothie program. So will that be taking place this year too?
Yes. Yeah. We literally met about it today. We're coming up with some different service learning opportunities and ways to get our students involved and get their hands dirty and get them involved in the garden, because garden is therapeutic. It's relaxing. And I mean, it's a life skill, you know, learning how to grow things and take care of them.
Right. I see so many parallels between that garden and our young people, right? How are we growing? How are we giving them the nutrients, the water, and everything for them to thrive out here? What has been some of your greatest rewards of just kind of working with the students and even your challenges? But how have you been able to kind of navigate some of those challenges about changing those behaviors, creating some interest? Sometimes they just didn't seem interested in the beginning until you made it relatable, right? And I think that's been a key thing that you've been able to do there. So not only was it just like, hey, this is a talk, a lecture, and you're lecturing me, but you always gave them hands-on. So it was practical. So they had to practice it and they kept seeing it over and over again, but it would be a different interpretation of it about healthcare. So what has been your greatest reward?
Seeing the growth in the students, you know, people think of high school, well, it is 4 years, but it goes so quick. They're really with us a few months. So like, for example, the juniors now, I've been in my position 2 years and I worked with the freshmen and they're now juniors. So I would just say seeing the growth from freshman year to junior year, them making new habits, maturing, making better decisions, that's definitely a plus for me.
So what has been the challenges though to that work?
When you want a student to succeed more than they may want it for themselves, it could be a number of reasons why, but when you're hungry for it and they haven't reached that point yet, or they're still working through whatever they need to work through to get to a place in a mindset of wanting to be successful, I think that's a challenge. One of my biggest challenges is accepting that you can't save everyone. You know, sometimes we have to plant seeds and we don't necessarily reap the harvest right away. But again, that freshman year conversation, when the junior comes back and they're repeating something you taught them freshman year, and or, you know, they're finishing your sentence. Like, for example, if I say the best lesson and they say is a bought lesson, I know, Mr. Gary, thank you. I'm like, okay, I'm getting through to you. But as far as the challenge part, I would say just accepting that you can't save everyone. You know, I've worked with students in the past who have got to senior year and for whatever reason, you know, wouldn't come in for one exam to graduate. And that's hard, you know, or seeing students get caught up, you know, in what's going on in the streets. We've lost students, you know, to violence. We lost a student last year to a situation. So it's rough when we lose students, because then now you have, you know, the whole school and their friends, you know, grieving. So that's always hard. And those are, you know, challenging conversations to have with young people about death and consequences of actions and behaviors.
For sure. And you know what? I just really want to, you know, we've given shout outs to your school, just to the whole faculty, but the intentionality of how you deal with them. And even when you talk about saving them, you don't always get the end results immediately, but they know what are the tools available to kind of help them. They may not pick them up, right? And it's disappointing for us, just in human nature, but it's awesome to still hear educators, not frustrated, not burnt out by them, but still inspired to do the work with them. You're like, I want them to win. I'm cheering for them. And it's not just me. Everybody here wants them to win. When there's so many people that they may never know, other social media don't want them to win. Most of their relationships may not be interpersonal. It may be socially or, you know, behind the technology, right? But it's a beautiful thing to still hear educators saying, I want you to win, because that goes a long way. Like, I can think of all the way back to like my fourth grade teacher. Generally, you got attention if you are a problem. I wasn't a problem. And that's what most of the time took most of the attention from educators. But she found something in me that on her time that she should have been off, she was invested in me. Here she come to pick me up. I'm like, why are you here, Summer? Like, I'm going to fifth grade. We're done. And she's like, no, but we're not done, because I want to give you something more, because they're so invested in you. So that's a beautiful thing. So I have a great love for educators, because I think we all teach one way or the other. But when you're getting them at that age and you're cultivating and you're trying to work through so many layers internally and externally that are barriers for them, takes a lot of work to kind of keep chipping away at it.
Absolutely. And I'm going to just take a minute to shout out the Health Sciences Charter School family. You know, we have world-class staff, you know, top to bottom, from the receptionist to the building engineer, you know, to the principal, to our head of schools. We have a phenomenal staff who genuinely care about the students. You know, you'll hear people say Health Sciences Charter School family. When we say it, we mean it. We love our kids. I think, something that separates us or differentiates us from other schools is that our staff live in the community. So I'm literally walking to the store and I have kids pulling up on me like, yo, Mr. Gary, what's up? You know, so
it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. So shout out to Health Sciences Charter School. Big Health, not the little one.
Listen, Big Health, not the little one. So we're going to kind of move to our program that we were able to do this summer, which was the Health Ambassadors in partnership with Erie Niagara AHAC. Let's kind of talk about Why did you think that was important?
So it was important and is important because we wanted to create like a teach the teacher model where our students are the ones who are teaching their peers, family, and community about the social determinants of health. A lot of times, you know, for example, I had a student who I asked early on in the process who was a part of this, you know, this initiative. I said, if I just keep saying to you, stop eating McDonald's, you know, stop drinking Arizona, are you going to stop? And he said, no, Mr. Gary, I'm not going to stop just because you say it to me. So I think we are keenly aware. I know we're keenly aware that, you know, our students have influence on each other. So that model of them being empowered, feeling empowered and, you know, having the knowledge to be able to teach their peers, family members, and community about the social determinants of health and health equity, that's like a slam dunk.
I love it. So from our cohort, shout out to our first cohort, the health ambassadors, how did it like impact them? So I had the opportunity to kind of work with them and do different workshops and different outreach with them. But because you spent most of the time with them, what were some of the things that they were saying? Because they were quiet at first. They were just like staring up like, oh God, here she comes. Talking about data, and this stuff is a little sad. But it was important for them to know and make them aware that they can make very conscious, meaningful decisions about their behaviors and the things that they had control over and what they didn't, but they could definitely influence. What were some of the things, like the final thoughts as we were wrapping up the program?
The main final thought, I would say the thing I noticed is that, you know, through the program, and thank you so much, for, you know, being involved with this initiative, helping to lead this initiative, Buffalo Center for Health Equity and Erie Niagara AHEC, wonderful partners. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us to support our school and our community. We sincerely appreciate you. I would say the thing is that their minds were opened up. We opened their minds up and they were able to see things they hadn't seen before. You know, for example, understanding that the zip code you live in, you know, can determine your life expectancy or impact, you know, your life expectancy, understanding the importance of dental health, understanding, you know, being exposed to community engagement and learning just people skills and how to engage with other people and how to present information to people. There were a lot of takeaways, learning about the social determinants of health, but that new perspective, that new outlook, when you saw those ah moments, like, wow, where I live impacts, you know, how long I'm expected to live, or learning about smoking and the impact of vaping and cigarettes, things they thought were insignificant. We really put together a well-rounded program and our students learned a lot through it.
And I'm excited about being able to work with them throughout the school year and to add to that second cohort that will be with us next summer. So we are embarking on a new school year. What is the vision?
The vision is to continue to do what we've historically done, to be present for our students, family, and community, continue to love on them, continue to be the health sciences charter school family, and produce results through people by being that constant support. As far as health and wellness, definitely the Wellness Wednesdays, we want to double down on that. For our parents and families, our parent and family engagement is definitely something that we took to another level last year through having parent and family engagement events. So we want to definitely do that because the reality is this, all parents don't have a positive relationship with school. There's some trauma there for some parents, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to remove barriers and let our parents know you're welcome. We want you here. We want you involved in the school. And that's one of the things I've been tasked with, amongst other things, is to get the parents into the school and get them involved. So, you know, for example, our first event will be the community day. But we'll have an event for Hispanic Heritage Month, which is September 15th through October 15th, I believe. So we'll have, you know, because again, we have a Latino, Latina, Latinx population that we need to engage. So we'll, you know, we're going to celebrate Hispanic heritage and all the beautiful things that come with it. And then, you know, October, breast cancer, you know, okay, we've lost people through breast cancer. I've personally experienced loss through breast cancer. So, and our students have as well, and some of their parents are actively fighting breast cancer. So, I would say we're going to be intentional about the things we plan to engage our parents and families, focus on health and wellness, and educating our students, staff, and community, so they can make better decisions and they continue to do the things that we've always done which is loving on our people.
That's awesome. And I am more than glad to assist in any way with many of those events that you have planned for the upcoming school year. So what would be some pointers that you want to give to students if they're listening? I hope that you're listening. And parents and caretakers to really support our young people. Because sometimes our kids are different from one space to another, right? And I felt like school, you always got the authenticity of a child. Mom and dad may say, oh, no, they would never say that. They would never do that. But in that schoolhouse, you get the real authenticity of the personality of our children. So what would be some pointers, some supports that parents can give them at home and caretakers?
So for parents and caretakers, I would say listen to understand, you know, not to respond. Our young people have a different set of challenges than we had growing up, than I had growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's any less important. And we don't want to compare problems with people. We never want to do that. But I would say listen to understand, because our kids are experiencing a lot of different things that they may or that they may not have the skill set to navigate. And while, yes, they need guidance, they need to be heard. And we want our kids, our children, to feel emotionally safe with us. Right. And we do. And one of the ways that we can go about doing that is listening to understand, as opposed to reprimanding them or, you know, lecturing them every time something happens. We need to learn to listen to understand. I think another thing is leading by example. We can't expect our kids to show up operating on a high level, making great decisions, you know, making positive choices, being leaders and not a follower, if we're not leading by example. So I would say definitely lead by example, giving them time to grow into our expectations. And this is something that I had to learn myself with my children, is giving them time to grow into our expectations. It's one thing to have expectations, but sometimes they need time to grow into that and reach the level that you want them to be on. And then lastly, loving them unconditionally, regardless of what's going on. That's the greatest gift my grandmother ever gave me, was loving me unconditionally. And I think sometimes people love with conditions, as long as you do this, as long as you do that, or you don't do that. But when we love our children, our students unconditionally, regardless of what they do, it's not to say that we won't correct them, you know, or give them alternative options on how to handle situations, you know. But I think just loving them unconditionally through everything that's going on, everything they're experiencing, everything they're doing, is really a key to positive youth development.
I hope everyone took notes of those things and start off the new year with adopting some of those things and putting them into practice with our young people. And I share the same sentiment of loving them without the terms and the conditions that the love is now withdrawn from them because of the terms and the conditions. And that kind of leads to many of the mental health issues and battles that they have. And then they have to go amongst their peers and try to navigate that. And then, you know, we didn't have to compete with social narratives of what I should look like, what I should have, how I should behave. You just was trying to figure out what circle you fit in, because it was a circle. Everybody had a tribe. That's key. Thank you so much for just coming and being with us for the Igniting Hope Buffalo Center for Health Equity Community Day, which is in partnership with Health Science Charter School and Home Beneath Our Feet. If you would like to get more information, just feel free to come to www.buffalohealthequity.org. I am always delighted to have the opportunity to share with you the things that are happening in our community and highlight and let this radio podcast be the hope that you need to keep on going and keep on striving. And until next time, be healthy.